Turn with me tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to encourage you to pray about Thursday night. Thursday night and this week will be quite an adventure of faith. This Thursday night, we are having what's called a Set Free meeting at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, room 266. And it is campus ministry of reaching university students. We'll be working very hard this week to be on campus, invite people out to that meeting. We want you to be in prayer about that. It is certainly a great launch of faith. I think we also need to mention that is it this week, Philip? You have your first meeting, or next? In 2 weeks, we have our first Bible study at Maquonago High School. And the Lord has opened up a room there for a Bible study on Friday mornings at 6:45 at Maquonago High School. So that's another big step of faith and really a great opportunity. Lord, work that out. But we do want you to pray for this university outreach. Obviously, I'm sure most of you know that I was saved while I was attending University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. And I got a part of a campus ministry and began to grow there. And we are seeking to do what very few places is happening, a fundamental ministry to reaching souls on the university campus. 10,000 students at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Can you imagine that? 10,000 students. And the Lord has provided some contacts for us to hold this Bible study. Last year, a young man took a survey from Scott Hatchett, one of the students, and in the process, of course, Scott talked to him about Christ and found out that this fellow was saved, and he was just kind of, I get the idea, he was kind of, you know, watching or seeing what was going to happen, you know, if it was, they would just take the survey and then just, okay, thank you. But no, of course, I talked to him about Christ, and the fellow said, you know, I have been praying about a ministry on campus that confronts people with the gospel and is evangelistic. And he was supposed to graduate last year, didn't have enough credits, and so he had to come back to school this year. And we talked to him on this week, and he said, you know, now I know why I didn't graduate. And the Lord had this opportunity. And so there's a lot of things that have to yet come together. We are not yet, we are seeking to be an approved on-campus ministry. That is a huge step. That is really kind of another step of faith to make that happen. And we need two students to sponsor it. We need a faculty member to sponsor it. And so the Lord's going to have to provide some more things yet for us. So, but we're looking forward to what the Lord will do. Please be in prayer for that ministry. And we look forward to seeing what God will do. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. After our meeting today, Heather told me about a Christian young person that she knows of in California. Not sure what university she's going to, but one of the universities there in California. And we were just talking about ministering to college students and what we were going to do, and perhaps maybe have a lunch after service for those who come to church, and different ways of ministering to these students. And Heather was telling me, you know, we really need to get these students in our homes. And she told me about this girl, goes to the university, and she said, you know, her acquaintances at the university are maybe dumbfounded, maybe overwhelmed, maybe another word would is hungry for the experience of being in a home where the husband and wife are married and have stayed together, and the family functions as a family. It is such a rare thing in the world today. And basically, she was saying that her friends are jealous of her, that she has a father and a mother and brothers and sisters, and they function as a family. Many of them have never seen it in their life. They have never been in a home that functions at that age, and they're just like, kind of like, man, this is wonderful. We want to come to your house. We want to see your family. We haven't ever seen one. And, you know, this is becoming a very much a reality of life today, is that our society is falling apart. And as much as the world mocks the Lord and the things of God and the Bible, in the process of that, they lose and they are robbed of one of the greatest blessings of life. One of the things that's a great, that is precious, is a family that functions. You know, I think it was Pat Strickler, this is 20-some years ago, their family moved to West Dallas, and her boy was in West Dallas Public Schools, and she was kind of like a, she kind of started working with the school. She was kind of like a mother, you know, teacher's aide, helper, mother there. And I remember her telling me that of the 25 students, there's only 4 that were from, that lived with their mother and father. That's 20 years ago. There's only 4 that lived with their mother and father. You know, we are living in a crisis in our society. And we live in a crisis of society because God's plan for the family and God's plan for men and for women is being abandoned. If you go, you know, Stephen is going to Africa, and Africa is a matriarchal society. It's a matriarchal society. The mother is in charge. She's holding everything together. And, of course, you teach in the seminary, and they'll ask you questions about, what do you think of women preachers? Well, you know, to them, that's a real issue, women preachers. I mean, talking about Baptist people, the issue. Why? Because they live in a matriarchal society. And they can't comprehend a society run like the Bible. And so Africa is a mess. And you know why? Well, because the culture says the men are supposed to hunt and go to war. And thankfully, most countries in Africa aren't at war, but maybe that's why there's so many civil wars, because they don't have anything else to do. The men are supposed to hunt. Now, all the animals are on reservation, so you can't hunt. And they aren't at war, so there's nothing for them to do. And the wife is supposed to take care of the garden, and the wife is supposed to take care of the firewood, and the wife is supposed to take care of the children. And the husband, he doesn't have to do anything. You know, he's free. And, you know, it isn't quite that simple, but it's a mess because it's a matriarchal society. And, you know, as people get away from God, their families are a mess. And, you know, young people, you need to understand this. That God has a plan. God has a plan. But if you do not submit your life to God, you will not be in God's plan, and you will not experience the blessing of God's plan. You will experience the curses of sin. And you will be just as much a mess as the world is. Because God has a plan, and that has to be followed. You know, I'm thinking of Brother Chapman. That's right. Isn't that his name, the missionary? Brother, Champlin. You know, Daryl Champlin, great missionary to South America. And, you know, I heard him speak, heard about him speaking. I mean, I've heard him on tape. And years ago, Northland had him often speaking. And all over America, heard about Daryl Champlin and his ministry and what a great ministry he had. And then we had the Joseph family come, and they were going to go minister with the Champlins. And I heard their testimony that after 33 years, that the people under Daryl Champlin's ministry were still resisting Ephesians chapter 5. And I thought, wow, how sad. When you go down to the basic principles of life, the role of the man and the role of the woman is the basic, one of the basic principles of society. The role of the man and the role of the woman is the basic principle of all society, of all civilization. There's nothing more basic than this great principle. But there's something, many things that keep this from happening. And one of the, there's two big issues. One is obviously ignorance. And not knowing Christ, but the other issue is sin. The other issue is sin. Because even people who know about Christ have a difficult time to submit to God's plan. Now, there's a new way of approaching this subject. And to places like Elmbrook, the Brook churches, you know, in 1990, Briscoe signed the Feminist Manifesto. How many know that? You know that? Yeah. The Feminist Manifesto. And you know what the Feminist Manifesto says? It says that all that the Bible says about the roles of men and women is only cultural. It's only cultural. And all those commands are cultural and are not for today. Well, that's a good way to get out of the Bible, isn't it? Well, there's always a way to get out of it. Now, Now, that's a long time ago. That's 20-some years ago that the new evangelicals gave up on God's plan. I suppose someday they're going to be writing a book about how bad it was to abandon God's plan. And everybody will be buying this book, you know, and reading it, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's way past time to find out the answer because they refused the answer. Now, I want us to think about the roles of men and women, okay? And this is important. Now, Matt, this is important for you to know. You better have a pencil out and you'd be taking notes. This could save your life and change your life and avoid and bring blessing rather than a mess. 1 Corinthians 11. I would have you note that the head of every man is Christ. Now, I want us to notice a real simple truth here. I want you to see if your Bible reads like mine. I would you have to know that the head of some men is Christ. And that the head of some women is the man. I want to know if your Bible reads like mine. No, mine doesn't read like that either. But that's how most people interpret the Bible. Now, obviously, we have a very important principle here. The principle is the principle of authority. I mean, that is the most unpopular principle today, is the principle of authority. All right? Now, what does it say? The head of every man is Christ. Every man is to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about just in word. I'm talking about reality. You know what it means? This is what it means. It means that you, as a young boy, the most important thing for you is to submit to God. And if you don't submit to God, you are bringing a curse into your family and into society. That's why the world's messed up. The world is messed up because of selfish, rebellious, lazy men that will not submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the problem. And you know, those men are like that because they grew up that way. They grew up that way. Maybe they're raised in a Christian home, but they didn't submit to Jesus Christ. And guess what? They're part of the problem, not part of the solution. And you know, the hardest thing for a man is to submit to Jesus Christ, to submit to His authority. Then it says, the head of every woman is the man. Wow. Now you have two complications here. You have the complication of a woman bringing herself under the authority of men. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a real problem. But it gets worse. Men, women had to put themselves under the authority of sinful men. Because there's not a man that's not a sinner. But it's a two-way street. The plan requires the man be under the authority of Jesus Christ. The plan of God requires that the woman be under the authority of men. I think that we have a real problem. It's not easy. Let's look at some of the principles of the Bible and just kind of see how this kind of works. Okay? Let's look at, we'll come back here to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is a fun verse, but a great verse. Watch ye, stand fast in the Lord, in the faith. Quit you like men. Now, how many think that means be a quitter? Okay, good. No, it doesn't mean that. quit you like men means act like a man. It means play the man. Androgynia is the Greek word. Play the man. Be a man. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a man? It means to take your responsibility as a man. Take your responsibility to be the spiritual leader. That's what it means. Act like a man. The role that God has given a man. Man is under the authority of Christ. They are going to obey Christ. They're going to do His will. They're going to follow Him no matter what. Because they're under authority. That's what it means to quit you like men. In the Old Testament, it translates words like, be strong and of good courage. When the Israelites brought the ark into the camp, and the Philistines were there, and they knew all about the ark, and they knew it represented God's presence, and they were afraid. And the rulers of the Philistines said to the men, quit you like men. Act like a man. You're going into insurmountable odds, and you're probably going to get killed. Now, they didn't know that the glory of God had left Israel, and they were going to win. But nobody had ever beaten so-called, you know, the Lord of hosts. You know, the ark was there. He said, quit you like me. In other words, grit your teeth, get out there, and die if you have to. But you don't quit. Be a man. What does it mean? Take your responsibility before God and do what God wants you to do. Now, there's a role here. You know, there is a role that God has given men. And the role that God has given men is that men are to be under God's authority. They have to hear God's voice. And they have to obey the voice of God. You know what? If you don't hear the voice of God, you're in big trouble. And if you hear the voice of God and you don't obey, you're in even bigger trouble. How many men out there, and maybe how many men here, how many here hear the voice of God? That's a good question, isn't it? How many men hear the voice of God? And then the question is, how many men obey it? That's what it's all about. It says every man is under God. He is under the headship of God. That is the role, under authority. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says here, there's a lot in this chapter. For the man is not of the woman. Not of the woman. You know, think about it. Male, female. Man, woman. Hebrew, ish, isha. Ish, man, woman, isha. Man came first. Woman was created from the man. That's what it's saying. And what does it say? It says, it goes on to say, it says, verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man by the woman, judging ourselves. Verse 13, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now notice what it says. It says, is it comely that a woman pray to God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Notice verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. You know what? It's all about authority. Now, there's a picture here. One is, there's a picture of bad angels roaming the earth. And they're looking for women who show signs of not being in submission to their husbands. That's what it's saying. They're looking for women who show signs of not being in submission to their husbands, of women showing signs of not being under authority. And then it says, doth not even nature teach you that a man have long hair? It is a shame unto him. Why? Because that long hair is a sign of rebellion of men against the authority of God. Now, as I read my Bible, it's telling us something, is that the homosexual problem we have is related to authority. And rebellion against authority and rebellion against the roles that God has given men and God has given women. This is a big issue. This is a big issue. And it's very, very simple. And, you know, you say, what about a little bit of hair? It is a big issue. Why? Because it shows that that man is not under God's authority. And men that are not under God's authority are the backbone of the problem of our country and civilization. Men need to be under God's authority. Now, as we think about that, we're thinking of the fact that, you know, God has roles. You know, the roles have nothing to do with superiority. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. It says, but have you know the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ inferior to God? No, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Is Jesus Christ lower and less significant than God? No. But someone... in God's plan, his role was to submit himself to the Father so he could purchase our salvation. And if you think about it in one sense of the word, his role of submission and his role, taking his role, was essential to the salvation of man. That's no little thing. That's a big thing. And now we begin to see that this whole idea of the world twisting the roles and God's plan for male and female and rejecting that, we see how just so misguided and twisted that is when we see it was the Lord Jesus who was ordained before the foundation of the world to take our place on Calvary's cross. And now he is going to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and every knee shall bow unto him. Submission isn't weakness. Submission is not inferiority. Submission has to do, and the principle of authority has to do with knowing God and knowing the truth. It's a huge issue of spirituality. And so we need to recognize that, you know, God has roles. And these roles are very important. And our society is reaping the terrible, terrible results of rejecting God's plan. And it isn't just in the world. It's in the churches. The strength of the churches has to do with men who are under God's authority. There'll never be a strong church if men aren't under God's authority. Never have a strong church. Because we're rejecting the foundation of God's plan. And so, you know, we have to see these principles in the Scripture as a very vital, vital principle. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and look at a couple things there. And I'm not going to try to preach this whole message tonight, but I want us to think about, again, this principle. Under authority. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, if you know anything about punctuation, you know that verse 21 is the last part of the sentence that began with verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And it tells us that the characteristic of being filled with the Spirit is not only thankfulness and not only having a song in our heart, but it is submission to God's plan to be under authority. And then it describes being under authority. And under authority, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Notice the principle. The principle is first unto the Lord. And then it's that principle being under authority unto the Lord, and now transferring that principle to the husband. But notice it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, and as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But it says he is the head of the church. I wonder, does that mean he's only the head of the women in the church? Huh? No! It says he is the head of the church. He is head of all males and all females in the church. All males, all females are to be under His headship. That means they're to be under His authority. That's the whole key principle of the New Testament church. Men under God's authority. Then it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Well, notice, the first principle is the man is under the headship of Christ. Notice the second principle is the man who listens to God and obeys God now qualifies as a proper husband. Qualifies now as a proper husband. He's going to what? He's going to love his wife. He's going to love her self-sacrificially. Why? Because he is under the headship of Jesus Christ. And as a man under the headship of Jesus Christ, he is not going to ask his wife to do something that he doesn't do. That's simple, isn't it? He's saying, basically saying, I obey Jesus Christ. I obey His word. I hear His voice. He is my head. I fulfill my role as the head. I'm under Christ's authority. And secondly, I will love you as Christ loved the church. Very simple principle. But what is the foundational principle? Under authority. Under authority. I mean, we could make it really practical. I mean, any woman, any girl who marries a man who's not under the authority of Christ is crazy. You're crazy. If you somehow think that somehow you can have a good relationship that will glorify God, impossible. Won't happen. Get out of dreamland. So we have, again, this principle of authority. Being under authority. The foundational principle of society. Foundational principle of the church. Are you under authority? You know, I'd like to challenge you. This is really kind of bold. Go ask a young person, sir, if they think you're under authority. They know. They know. They wouldn't want to tell you that you weren't. But they know who's under authority, who listens to God's authorities, who listens to the authorities that are over them. Very, very serious principle. Roles. You know, throughout the Bible. Roles. It all is about submitting to God's authority in our life. Now, we'll look at one. Oh, I wish we could listen to a lot of other verses. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. This is a very interesting passage. Verse 11 says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For the Adam was first formed, then Eve. What's it saying? God said to Adam, he said, let us make man in our image. And he said to Adam, now you are supposed to dress the garden and you're going to keep it. And then God looked at him and said, you know what? I need a helpmeet for him. You know, what is God's plan? You know, what is God's plan? Was it God's plan that Jesus stay in heaven? No. Was it God's plan that Eve be the main thing? No. Adam was the main thing. Adam was first formed. Adam was given the job. Adam was given the responsibility. And Eve was supposed to what? Help. She wasn't going to be the main thing. She's supposed to be man's helper. You know, that's the role. Young lady, you have all these visions of what you are going to do? No. That's not God's role for you. In the right sense, yes, but in the wrong sense, no. You know, God has a plan. Now notice it says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, if you go to Africa, they don't understand this verse. In Africa, a very, very prominent part of their culture are women preachers. Why? Because the women are the spiritual leaders. The women are the stable ones. The women are the one typically who are stable. And as immoral as the black culture is, the typical thing is that the woman sticks by the kids and the man, you know, abandons them and goes find another woman and makes more kids, and it's a big mess. Now you see how both works? And so when you get the woman taking the lead, being the main thing, it affects everything in society, and it also affects everything in the spiritual realm. This is a key principle of all of civilization. You know, I could, as you look at this passage of Scripture, I think there are some principles here. And it's teaching us that a man who is right with God and under God's authority is the teacher. Let me explain that. My wife tells me, you know, people in this church, they have to learn how to read between the lines because I always don't explain myself. So you have to be giving me a little bit of grace because I don't always explain myself. But you know, there is a principle. And a spiritual leader as a man, they don't wait necessarily for their wife to figure it out. A man leads his family. A man doesn't wait for his wife to figure out what is proper gender distinction. No, you don't wait for your wife. The husband is a spiritual leader. He's the teacher. He's supposed to grasp these principles. Now let me give you a scenario. Okay? If a woman is not under authority, if she kind of likes running the home, you know, we use the phrase, if she wears the pants in the home. If she is really the authority, if she really, you know, isn't under authority, if she really is a dominant woman, what's the likelihood of her reading the Bible about gender distinction and getting it? Not too lightly. I mean, it happens, praise the Lord. But you know, I believe that the problem is, you know, a woman who is not meek and a woman who likes being dominant, she's not going to feel very normal wearing dress all the time. Because that dress is not only a symbol of being under authority, it very much limits what a woman can do. And if she doesn't want to be different than that, she can read every verse in the Bible 5,000 times. She's never going to get it, except by the grace of God. But she's going to need a husband that says, you know what? This is the way the ladies in our house will dress. But you know, I thank the Lord for many of you ladies. And you know, you got it. And many of you got it without your husband saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be. And it's because of a meek spirit that you had. But it isn't always that way. You know, a husband needs to know what it means to be a spiritual leader and be under authority. And say, hey, thus saith the Lord, this is what we are going to do. That's the role of a man. What does it mean? Quit you like men. It means like the icebreaker ship. The lake is frozen over. The ships can't make it through. The icebreaker ship has to go and break the ice so the others can follow. A man has to be under God. They have to be under his authority. They have to obey, be obedient to the word of God. And they have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. That's what it is. And that's how God works. You know, and that's what salvation does. That's what conversion does. You know, praise the Lord for people who have the great privilege of being raised in a Christian home. Praise the Lord for that. What a great blessing that is. But what about the person who isn't raised in a Christian home? What about the person who doesn't have Christian parents? What about the person who never saw it live before? Does that mean they don't have a chance? They can never have a Christian home? No, no, no. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And all things are of what? God. And so the man reads what the Bible says, you know, and they say, you know what? That's what the Bible says. That is what I am going to do. And you know what? It starts off when you get saved, very simply. You get saved, and you read what the Bible says, and you say, oh, that's what I'm going to do. You know, you get saved, and the Bible says, hey, you're supposed to tithe. You know what the man who's going to be a spiritual leader says? He says, well, you know what? If that's what the Bible says, that's what I'm doing. They aren't fighting God. They aren't fighting man. They say, well, that's the Bible says. I'm going to do it. You know what? The Bible says that you need to be in church, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. And he says, yeah, boy, that's what I'm going to do. He reads the Bible, and the Bible says, hey, you now that you're saved, you need to be baptized, join the church, do what's right. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey God. And you read the Bible, and it says, hey, you know what? A man's supposed to be a spiritual leader. Okay, well, excuse me, we're having family devotions. Because why? Because the Bible says so. That's all it is. It's as simple as that. When you're saved, Jesus Christ becomes your authority. And you obey what he says. It isn't really difficult. I mean, it is because we're sinners. But it's really simple. And you know, when we're under the authority of God, then we start getting the blessings of God. And the blessings of God aren't just limited to us. They are spread out to everyone around us. And everyone around us enjoys the blessings. But you know what? It's by faith. It's by faith. You know, this young lady we're talking about, she's enjoying the blessing of a mom and dad that obey God. And the people around her mocked obeying God. I don't care what little thing it was, they just mocked God about obeying God. And guess what? When you mock God, you don't obey God, that's the spirit of your life, and you aren't going to get the blessings. You know, it's a little thing, but it's a big thing. A man that doesn't obey God, or let's put it the positive way, a man that's under God's authority, believes in authority, is under authority, follows authority, submits to authority, follows God's plan, guess what? That man's blessed. It's just as simple as that. And you know, we fight it so much. We fight it so much. Pride, sin, whatever it is. But really, it's really sad because we're missing God's blessing. We're missing God's blessing. And it is into the very basic roots of society and the strength of our churches and the future of our lives. Young man, let me ask you. 8th grader, 9th grader, 10th grader. Young man, let me ask a question. Are you about obeying God? I'm asking that question. Are you about obeying God? Is that what's important to you? Obeying God. That ought to be the most important thing in your life. Obeying God. If it isn't, you're not going to be the man that God wants you to be. Not going to be the man that God wants you to be. What's the most important thing, fathers, you can teach your children? Obey God. Be under God's authority. Be under the authorities that God puts you over you. Be under authority. It is the greatest blessing they will ever experience. And I don't have time to talk about all the subtle things that go on in Christianity that are really a rebellion against the principle of authority. And that's why Christianity is not experiencing the blessing, and that's why Christianity is not the light that it ought to be in this world. It's a very simple thing. You know, I tell you what, it would take a miracle. It does take a miracle. It would take more than a miracle, maybe even tonight, more than even revival. If you're a man and you're not under authority, what would it take for you to get under authority and learn the principle of authority? Boy, I tell you what, it is a huge issue. We live in a day of independence, people doing their own thing, even Christian people. So many subtle ways. But the blessing is being under authority. Now, young lady, guess what? You need to be under authority. You ought to be glad to have a dad that teaches you to be under authority. And you know what? That would be the only way that you would be attracted to a young man that's under God's authority. And that's where the blessing is. But if you've never learned the blessing of being under authority, you aren't going to think it's very beautiful. And you're going to miss out God's blessing. You need to be under authority. That's how a young lady equips her life for future blessing. Being under authority. It's a simple principle. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these truths. Very simple truth, Lord. And the question is, Lord, each one of us men, do we listen to God? Lord, do we listen to you? Do we listen to your Holy Spirit? Do we obey the Bible even when we don't like it? Do we do right? Do we take our responsibility before God and do it because we are under your authority? And Lord, we need you to, in your grace, work in our hearts. For our sin nature is truly against your plan. And so, Lord, I pray that this truth, your Holy Spirit would take it in our souls. I pray in Jesus' name.